Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Glad you could join us for our podcast this week. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This week, we're happy to have with us Brady Pyle, who is the Deputy Chief Human Resources Officer for NASA. As you're well aware of, NASA has entered a new chapter in their history, some exciting things that are happening with the space program, their new partnership with SpaceX, and we're happy to have Brady share some thoughts from his career and lessons learned around leadership. And he joined NASA in 1995, and he received NASA's Outstanding Leadership Medal in 2012 as well as 2018. Looking forward to our conversation with Brady. So happy to have with us Brady Pyle, who's joining us from Houston. And Brady, I guess first off, can you give us just a little bit of your story and your career?
Sure. Thank you, Mark. I joined NASA in 1995 as a human resources representative. Went to my first supervisory role in 2005. Since then, I've held a variety of leadership roles in HR. I also had an opportunity. I spent 9 months as a frontline leader in our engineering organization back in 2013. I also spent a year in Washington, D.C. as part of NASA's Leadership Development Program. I worked at NASA headquarters and then also at the World Bank's International Finance Corporation. So I worked in their HR department as well. I joined the executive ranks about 4 years ago. I now supervise 8 executives across NASA in HR. And then also in 2013, I started a blog at outofthisworldleadership.com as a way to continue to learn and grow and share perspectives with others.
Great. Well, growing up, you know, I think if you would have asked, you know, if you had a group of 10 kids in a room and asked them what they wanted to be, I'm guessing about half of them would have said, I want to be an astronaut. And it's cool to see kind of that energy around the space program continue to grow in the last months during this difficult time. It's exciting to see just a new chapter in NASA and the space program. But talk a little bit about what's going on. You've got a lot going on in your area.
Yeah, Mark, it's been an exciting summer for sure. We launched American astronauts from U.S. soil for the first time since the last space shuttle flight in 2011. So it had been 9 years since we had a launch of crew from U.S. soil. SpaceX did that. They taxied 2 astronauts to the International Space Station. They're set to return later this month. For the last 9 years, we've had to catch a ride with the Russians to get up and down to the space station. And so it was exciting to have our own method to get up there. We also, later this month, have our next Mars rover targeted for launch. Right now, it's targeted for July 30th. The Mars Perseverance rover is going to search for signs of habitable conditions on Mars in the ancient past, and then signs for microbial life itself. Then on October 31st, Mark, we're gonna celebrate 20 years of continuous presence aboard the International Space Station, which is our national lab. It's done a bunch of critical research, but more importantly, it's strengthened international partnerships. It's 16 countries involved. We are strongly partnered with the Russians on the ISS, so it gives us a platform to work differently than some of our politics may allow at times.
Sure. Sure. Great. Yeah, it was amazing when I was watching the broadcast of the launch. I told my wife, I said, the video coming from the spacecraft is actually better than the video that was on the ground. And I remember, you know, as a kid, you know, going around watching the first walk on the moon and just kind of the grainy film. And now it's almost like they're in the next room. And they've got cool suits too. So that's the
and displays. They great displays in their spacecraft as well.
Sure. Well, one of the questions I like to ask each of our guests is you've had a lot of experience in your career, and if you were able to turn back time and go back and talk to a 22-year-old Brady, knowing what you know now, what would you tell him? What advice would you give him?
Yeah, I would say focus on doing what you do really well. Make sure you establish a reputation for yourself, a reputation for excellence in your field. What's the brand you're building for yourself? At the same time, build positive working relationships with everyone. At NASA, it's really important for us to have teamwork across the board. In fact, when we interview astronauts, we ask the receptionists, we ask the nurses, how did the applicants treat them? In a lot of cases, the applicants don't realize that everyone is part of the interview process. And that's an indicator of really who people are. How do they treat people who they don't believe have influence? So I would definitely encourage everyone to really focus on that, building those positive relationships with everyone. You never know who you're going to work for. So it's always good to have good relationships across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one of the things that I have told other candidates and people that are early in their career is you never know who the influencers are in the organization. And a lot of times it can be that person sitting at the front desk that's probably knows more of what's going on in the organization. And they definitely, there's feedback that's required and it's treating people well, across the board. So that's great advice. Is there any advice that you received that you, looking back on, you should have ignored?
Yeah, it was probably the way I was thinking about career. Advice I would ignore now is figure out where you want to be in the organization. My goal very early in my career was to be the HR director at the Johnson Space Center here in Houston, which I considered to be kind of a pinnacle role. At one point, it really wasn't clear if that was going to happen. So I had to look at other options. And frankly, I never would have dreamed about the role that I'm in today. That role didn't exist early in my career. And I think the world of work is evolving so rapidly that the roles of tomorrow and the roles 10 years from now, we don't even know what they're going to be today. So really seek to be an influencer and not focused on a particular job or role.
Yeah, I'm sure when you mentioned that you're dealing with a lot of different people across the organization and you've seen a lot of leaders within the organization. What advice would you give a kind of a new leader as they're moving into kind of that leadership role? What would you tell them or tips that you would have?
Yeah, I have two real tips. My first tip would be to get a mentor. In fact, I tend, when I talk to more seasoned leaders, I ask the question, who's on your Mount Rushmore of mentors? Mm-hmm. You should have people who have influenced you from a career and a life perspective. As a new leader, I sought out someone who had a little bit more experience than I did. It kind of walked the path. And in 2004, just immediately following the Space Shuttle Columbia accident, in HR, we were doing a lot of hiring at the time. And at the time, I had a young family. I had a daughter who was 4 and then a son who was 2. And so I would come home, I'd have dinner with the family, and then I would go back in to work to work on the hiring packages that needed to be done. And my mentor just stopped me and asked the question. He said, "Hey, are you focused on your relationship with your wife? It's easy as a young dad to really focus on the kids and everything's kind of revolving there and the work focus as well." So that question really made me pause and made me reevaluate, and I made some adjustments that, looking back on it, I think, wow, if I didn't have someone to point that out, how things could have been different. And also, while that's kind of a personal life thing, I have seen where personal life struggles come into the workplace. I mean, we can't separate work and personal life easily. So that's a big piece of advice: get a mentor. The second is to have more questions than answers. As a new leader, a lot of times new leaders are promoted into positions because they've demonstrated that technical competence and technical excellence. So in a lot of cases, they have answers. But how are you growing your team to really have answers themselves? So approach it as having more questions than answers. Early on in my career, I thought, hey, I needed to craft a vision for the team. And so crafted a vision, presented it to the team, and it fell flat. Team members said, well, wait a minute, we have our own ideas about the future, you know, and you're just handing us your ideas. Fortunately, I learned that lesson early in my career, and subsequently have really sought to get input from the team and build a shared vision for the future. So, you know, a couple of pieces there, you know, having more questions than answers, but also don't put pressure on yourself that you've got to have the vision yourself. Really, it's more effective and more important to build that with the team.
That's good. So somebody that's maybe inheriting their first team, or they're building out a team, what advice would you give them as they're doing that and hiring?
Yeah, that's always an exciting time as a leader. I think the first thing as a leader, you have to know yourself. I often refer to the mirror as your most powerful leadership tool. Knowing your strengths, knowing your capabilities, and being able to surround yourself with people with complementary strengths. So looking at people who are different from you, who bring diversity to the team, because you and the team will greatly benefit. I also really encourage leaders to include other perspectives with you in that selection process. You know, having a panel of people provide interviews and perspective into that selection is really a good way to go to also get their perspective on, hey, who of the candidate pool will most complement you as a leader.
I have to ask this question. So what is your favorite question to ask an astronaut as you're looking for that next person?
Yeah, I think our really with astronauts, we like to see you know, how they relate to everyone. So we tend to ask a variety of questions and put them in a variety of situations where they work with different people. But you know, it's generally where have you worked through conflict with a team member, and how did that resolve positively for you and for the organization? That tends to be kind of a telling scenario. We have some applicants who are very confident in themselves and don't tend to reveal conflict, which is a telling point as well. I think any time you're working with people, there's going to be conflict of one kind or another. And so how do you work through that and enable teamwork and positive results?
That's good. So every leader, and you mentioned that you're continuing to grow and develop yourself as a leader. What three books would you recommend someone that is a leader or desiring to be a leader that's influenced your life?
Yeah, so there are three big ones that have really influenced me. The first I would point to is John Maxwell's Leadership Bible. I think the Bible has a lot of great stories and advice and perspectives to succeed in leadership. And then John Maxwell kind of inserts his wisdom throughout. So I really like his approach to leadership, and that combination I think is a powerful one. The second book kind of relates to the situation we're dealing with today with, you know, the George Floyd murder and kind of real issues and real conversations around diversity and inclusion. A number of years ago, I had an opportunity to read Tim Wise's White Like Me, which really pointed out a bunch of aspects of privilege that I enjoy as a white guy at NASA. And while I'm not ashamed of who I am, I recognize that with that privilege comes responsibility to make sure we've got a equity and we've got an inclusive team. And especially with diversity, that gets challenging as an organizational leader. So I also recently read White Fragility along those lines to really talk through with my team different aspects of building an inclusive environment. The third book that was pivotal for me was, I mentioned earlier about being in the NASA Leadership Development Program. One of the things they were really pushing me to do is get my voice out there, be more heard. I tend to be more of an introverted leader and more of a quiet leader. And that year, Tony Dungy's book, Quiet Strength, came out. And Dungy was an NFL coach who had just won the Super Bowl. And he pointed out how, as a leader, he's a very quiet leader, didn't raise his voice with his team, didn't cuss at his team, which is, I think, unusual for an NFL football coach.
Right.
And but he talked about how, you know, quiet leaders can be effective. So that enabled me to kind of challenge the notions that were being taught in our leadership development program. I think whoever you are, personality-wise, you can bring that to bear in leadership. I have seen extroverted leaders who are very effective, and I've seen introverted leaders who are very effective. How you're wired and your personality can be effective in a leadership role. So that Quiet Strength book was a very helpful perspective for me at that time.
Good. So any quotes that you've that are on your wall or that you live by or feel like it's some good advice?
Yeah, absolutely. I really like what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others more significant than yourself." Mm-hmm. And that quote is one that I try to live by in work as an HR professional, as I'm serving others. As a blogger, my byline for my blog is serving leaders who shoot for the stars, and certainly try to live that way as well. Balancing that humility and listening to others and serving others is very important.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot written on servant leadership and you know, serving your team. And I think it's always, you know, you learn real quickly about a leader, kind of how they approach working with others and how they treat the team that they're responsible for. Outside of work, which it sounds like during the last probably couple months, there hasn't been a lot of free time. But outside of work, what do you do to stay focused and recharge?
Absolutely. So I'm active in my church, which has been different the last several months, as you pointed out. How to serve and you know, support the church there. But a big part of our lives, my wife and I really enjoy engaging with our sons as they play basketball and baseball. I've got a daughter who's now in college as well, and we like to go visit her. The last several months, what we've done is at the end of each workday, I'm very intentional about unplugging, and then we go to a local park to either, we've kind of taken up frisbee disc golf.
Okay.
At a local park, or take walks, or we've got a baseball field nearby where I can throw batting practice to my sons, and it's a nice cutoff. I know a lot of leaders at NASA have really struggled in the environment now of working from home and having the clear cutoffs and points of division. So it's been really helpful to have family and be intentional about you know, unplugging and turning off at 5 o'clock and going to the park when you can. I mean, there's days sure. that doesn't happen as regularly, but that's been important to us.
Well, I know on a lot of people's minds is how to work. You mentioned the virtual teams, and I think it's been something that some companies have learned to navigate it. It's not ideal for a lot of teams, but anything that you're doing to help keep the team together and to keep focus?
Yeah, so we're doing a couple of things. One of our things we're doing for our larger HR organization is we do have regular meetings where we convene the full team and talk about what's going on with kind of a work focus on our priorities. And then we're also intentional about we convene you know, kind of informal chats. So a couple of times a month, we'll get a 30-minute kind of optional time, you know, through the virtual technology and encourage people just to stop by. We'll post different questions in the pods about, you know, hey, what are you doing to stay sane at this time? What are some of the activities you're engaging in? The other day was Giving Tuesday. So we talked about, hey, what are you giving away? And really had some neat, inspiring stories from across the team around that. So trying to be intentional about non-work things as well. The other conversation that NASA is in is looking at establishing at least one day every couple of weeks as a kind of meeting-free day where folks can either kind of catch up on work or not have to engage in this way. I mean, this is a very different way to engage, where we're kind of in front of a screen all day, where typically we've got a little bit of break from that with meetings and that sort of thing in person. So those are a couple of things we're doing.
One of the thoughts I had or questions I had was around, you've got SpaceX group, and you have your internal group, and there's a lot of collaboration and sharing. And I think that's going to become more of kind of the model with organizations of having to work across a couple different organizations and get things done. Any thoughts around that, as far as, you know, you've got a culture and they have a culture, and how do you get those cultures together and work together?
Yeah, absolutely. And I can tell you that has been huge. I mentioned earlier about, we're about to celebrate 20 years of permanent humans presence in space through the International Space Station. So you've got 16 countries even with different cultures of their space programs that have come together. And a big part of us in the early days of working with the Russians, for example, was kind of understanding the Russian culture. And we actually did a lot of work with our teams that were interacting with the Russians to really seek to know their culture and understand them, so we could be effective partners. SpaceX is, you know, they're offering a new culture and a new way of doing business. The space business, some of the companies that have been doing this a while have a certain way of approaching it. And SpaceX is, Elon Musk and his team are thinking very differently about the business. And we're excited for their success, because if they can be successful with this different model and offer services that are cheaper than what we've offered them in the past, we can go farther. And so I think NASA is excited to see some of the different thinking and the different approaches. It's been, you know, a clash at times, because at NASA, the average NASA employee tenure is somewhere around 17 years.
Wow!
So when you think in terms of culture, there's deep, deep culture and deep roots. They talk about, hey, changing a culture is about half your average tenure. So if we're going to shift NASA culture, you're talking, potential 8-year journey. So when SpaceX came in originally, I think they bumped into some. There were struggles and tensions, because a lot of the rules and options we've put in place at NASA were direct results of loss of human life, from the Apollo program, from the two space shuttle accidents that we've had. And I think SpaceX was looking at things, as they should, with a blank sheet of paper. Hey, how do we start? And of course, we had built up a lot of rules and processes to try to prevent those kinds of things from happening. So it's been very much, it's been interesting to watch the two come together in partnership and make something happen, like the launch that happened earlier this month.
Great. Yeah, it'd be exciting to see as you've got some other things on the horizon, and our 2024, that's the goal for the person back on the moon. Is
person
that
back on the moon? That is the the administration's goal. Yes, they're okay. Very very aggressive about pursuing putting the byline is putting the first woman and the next man on the moon by 2024. They've labeled that program Artemis, which is the sister to Apollo. Okay. Given that it's a woman that's supposed to land on the moon, so that's certainly what we're targeting.
Great. Well, any parting advice that you would give a leader?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, I think it's really important as a leader to live your values. My values were ingrained in me by my grandfather and father. Integrity, do what I say, excellence to do my best, and improvement to get better over time. I think if you do those things, then you can sing a refrain of one of my favorite songs that says, when it's finally time to say goodbye, there's nothing to prove, nothing to lose, and nothing to hide.
Well, thanks, Brady. This has been a lot of fun. And mention again your blog for those that are listening, that you can check that out.
Yeah, blog is at Out of This World Leadership. which is all one word, outoftheisworldleadership.com. I think you could also get to it through connecting with me on LinkedIn or Twitter. I'm out there on Twitter as well.
Great. Thanks. I wish you continued success, and also for the space program that continues to you hit your goals, and it'll be fun to watch.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me on today.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.